have you with us this morning. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 4 and following. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and following. We will be walking through and reading a big section of text, 1 Peter 1 down to 2, chapter 2, verse 3. And this text will frame our sermon and our time together in this next moment here. So if you have a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and following. All right, here we go. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Amen. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to gather together this morning to hear your word. We ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that we would open ourselves up to transformation. Help us to not be distracted, but instead to hear what it is that you would have for us, that through your word we might be transformed. Father, we trust that when you speak to us, that you can change us, and we didn't show up here this morning to leave the same people than when we arrived. So change us by your Spirit and through your word. We ask that everyone who is here this morning, you know their needs, that you would help them to find that their greatest and deepest need is fulfilled in you. Amen. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Birth and growth belong to one another. Birth is instant. Growth takes years. The point of birth is that it leads to growth. Never Neverland might be fun for a day or two, but you don't want to be stuck there forever. You were born to grow up. And that is true in our Christian life. Last week we talked about knowing Christ. And when we know Christ, when we trust Christ, when we turn from our sin, the Bible says that we are born again. We sang "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" plenty of times this Christmas season. You may not recognize that you were singing this, but you sang a line. Every time you sang that song, you sang that Christ had come, that he was born to give them, that's us, a second birth. Born to be born again. And our new spiritual birth is instantaneous. When you see that you have a need for God and you see who Christ is and you put your faith and trust in him, you are born again, and that is instantaneous, much like real physical birth. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, I asked if I had to be in the room. She didn't like the nature of that question. It was for most of, like, you know, in the last 100 years, well, I guess 1970s is kind of when this changed, but, you know, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, men were not in the room during the birth of their child. In fact, they weren't allowed to be. It was a privacy issue until one guy, I don't know his name, handcuffed himself to a bed and won a court case giving us, mandating that we now be in that room. Now, for some of you, you want to be in the room, and God bless you. That wasn't me. That was not me, right? That's not what I wanted, but I have been in there for all of our, we have four kids, all of their births. I was in the room for all four of them, and it is wild because the doctor is in there, and, you know, my wife is in there, and there's a couple nurses in there. And after some pushing, out of nowhere, another person is in the room. And they didn't come in the door. There's just a person in the room all of a sudden. And it's just an insane thing that, like, all the... Now, that person has been in the womb for 9 months. But in that moment, all of a sudden, the person is now fully in the room with you in a brand new way. New birth is instantaneous. But that birth leads to growth. The doctors will immediately take that newborn baby and they'll begin to run some checks and tests, right, to make sure everything's okay. And then it's in the just, the later on that day, into the next day, into the day after that, they are doing lots of tests and checks to make sure that the baby is on a trajectory of development towards maturity. The baby is born, and from that moment, the baby begins a life of maturity and growth. We expect to grow all kinds of ways. But I wonder how often we think about spiritual growth. The point of being a baby is to grow up. The point of the new birth in Christ is to grow into maturity in Christ. Now, we think about financial health. That's a thing we use. We talk about our financial health. We want to see that grow. You want to see your 401k grow. We think about our physical health, right? We want to grow physically stronger. We think about our emotional health. We want to grow emotionally, but many people do not expect to grow spiritually. They put their faith in Christ, and then they wait to die. Sometimes the church has failed by teaching people, or at least giving them the impression, that conversion is the end of their spiritual journey. Right? Last week we talked about knowing Christ. We talked about the old man and the new man. You become a new person in Christ. And for many people, they have taught, if you become a Christian, you're done. Twiddle your fingers and wait to go to heaven. But that is not what Scripture teaches. And so many people do not expect to grow spiritually because they feel like they've already arrived because they are Christian. They are born again. We spend years growing and maturing. We are born instantly, but maturity takes time. Why all this talk about birth and growth? Well, we are talking last week, this week, and next week about our mission and vision as a church. And last week we talked about knowing Jesus, not knowing about him, but knowing him. Millions of people in our city know things about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. We want to help people know Jesus. Jesus can change you in an instant, but once we are changed by Jesus, once we are converted, what then? We want to help people grow in their faith. And so 1 Peter talks about growth in faith. As a church, we exist to help people know Jesus and then to grow in their faith. So what is spiritual growth? We all understand, like I said, physical growth. We all understand growing as a person. But spiritual growth is confusing. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter says, grow up in your salvation. Now, some are confused. What do you mean, grow up in my salvation? I already have salvation. Salvation in the Bible is a big concept. It means both deliverance from sin and death, which has been accomplished if you are a Christian in and through the work of Christ. But it's also deliverance from the power and dominion of sin. And so Peter doesn't say you need to grow up towards your salvation. He says grow up in your salvation. So what does it mean to grow in our faith? Well, it means a few things. It means more than this, but certainly not less so. Grow in the knowledge of God. It's my hope that at the end of this year, you know God better than you knew God this year, this last year. And you experience this already in your friendships. You've got people in your life you've been friends with a long time. You can finish each other's sentences. You know what they order when you go to your favorite restaurant together. You just kind of know them. In the same way, we want to know God better, what God cares about, what God's passionate about, what God doesn't like. We want to know God better by being with God. Paul is constantly praying this over the church. So we want to grow in knowledge, but we also want to grow in grace. We want to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of both who we are and what God has done for us. See, some people think that when we come to faith, that's when we most clearly see our sin and need for God. Let me be clear. If you see your sin less and your need from God less today than you did back then, you have not grown in the right direction. We want to grow in grace. We also want to grow in faith. We want to trust God more. We want to give every part of our lives to him. It's already his if we are Christian. We have already given our lives to God, but the challenge for many of us is that we sometimes close off aspects of our lives and we say, no, Jesus, you can't be Lord over that. To grow in faith is to say, Lord, we want you to be Lord over all. You already are, and we just want it to look like it. Increase our faith. we pray. Jesus talks to his disciples and says, you of little faith. The disciples say to Jesus, give us more faith. We want to grow in faith. We want to grow in love for God and for one another. At the end of this year, I hope you love God more. I hope you love your neighbor more. And we want to grow in holiness, Christ-like character. We want to live to please God more and more. We want our entire lives to be shaped by the Lordship of Christ. Amen. So that's what spiritual growth looks like. I don't know if you've thought about your growth spiritually. I don't know if that's something you're passionate about. I hope that you would be. But that leads to a really obvious question. Okay, I kind of understand what spiritual growth is, and I understand I have a lot of work to do. How do I grow? How do we grow? And this morning, 1 Peter talks about a few ways that we can grow. The way that we grow in our faith, or the way we grow spiritually, is very similar to the ways that we grow in other ways. And here in 1 Peter, he says, if you want to grow spiritually, here's a place to start. So here's three ways to grow spiritually that we're going to get out of 1 Peter. The first one is this: diet. Always a good place to start. Diet is a good way to grow, right? Diet. And we feast on God's word. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. The essential need for growth is milk. Babies long for milk. Right? It's one of the first things that happens after a baby is born is that the doctor wants to get the baby to get and receive milk. And he says that by milk we may grow up. We grow up through a regular right diet. When you have a newborn baby, it's milk every 2 to 3 hours. And it is exhausting, right? You lay in bed and you watch your wife get up and she's got to do all that stuff. And you're thinking, man, this is exhausting. How so exhausting all the work she has to do. Why can't I just go back to sleep? No, we feed the baby with milk if you want the baby to grow. That seems obvious enough. What happens if you underfeed a baby with milk? You have asked parents who have children, and so many of you know, right? It's a sort of scary thing. Because as you have the baby is born, the first thing that happens is the baby begins to lose weight. And then you're giving the baby milk and you want to see the baby's weight come up. And you've got a doctor's appointment before you leave the hospital. And you know that at that appointment, they're going to start measuring the head size, how tall the baby is, how much the baby weighs. And if you have underfed the baby, what will happen is the doctors will say, okay, you need to give formula. You need to sort of supplement that. And the doctors will be constantly checking the growth of the baby, always watching, always checking, every time on a chart, saying, oh, your baby's here, your baby's there, right? You need to give more, you know, more milk. Your baby needs more calories. We have our son Dietrich, when he was born, he has always had a hard time gaining weight. And so when he was really young, we went to the doctor and they said, he is not even in the one percentile. And we said, what do we do? And they said, give him chocolate milk. And we said, that's interesting. And then they said, and make it with heavy cream. And we said, that's insane. But they were like, just get calories in him. He needs, right, to grow. You give the baby milk to grow. And the phrase in 1 Peter, spiritual milk, is one word, and it's the word logikos. Now, your Bible or NIV translates it spiritual milk so that you understand, right, what it means. But the direct translation is milk of the word. The word of God is our spiritual milk. Amen. The word of God is what gave birth to us, is the reason that we are Christian. Peter says this. He says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. The same word that causes your birth is the word that causes your growth. You will never grow to maturity without a steady diet of God's word. Right. Sipping, savoring, tasting, digesting. Do you know what happens when a baby doesn't get its milk? It screams. I wish that we screamed at our laziness, at our calendars, at our schedule, at our busyness, when we no longer feast on the Word of God. We should be screaming so that we do not lose our longing. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you have tasted, pray for a thirst. Amen. For some of you, your palate is gone. You have lost your appetite. You show up here week in, week out, but you do not hear the Word of God. You sleep through the sermon, through the scripture readings. You wake up on Monday morning and you do not read scripture every day. You have lost your sense of taste and you have lost your appetite. And it is tragic. God always fills the hungry and the thirsty. Amen. And if you have lost your appetite this morning, pray and cry out for your appetite to be restored, to be stimulated. Long for spiritual milk. That's the first way we grow. Our diet has to change. Secondly, and this is going to seem obvious to some of you, as doctors will often recommend, you need diet and what? Exercise. And that's the second point, exercise. If we diet, if we feast on God's word, by exercise here, I mean that we put God's word into practice. Put the life of God into practice. You don't need to get better at everything every week. But day in and day out, week in and week out, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, you should be learning to believe God's word, to understand it, and to put it into practice. Amen. Peter says this, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Right. His argument is, you have been born again, and because you've been born again, and you are now a child of God, any malice, any sort of evil thinking, any ill will, right, any deceit, any insincerity, envy, jealousy, slander, gossip to their face or behind their back, all those things, put them away so that you can grow up into maturity. Those are marks of immaturity. They are marks of being a baby. When you have a baby, right, a small child, and they'll do things that you can't, you don't understand why they do them, right? Listen, you'll hear yourself as a parent, you'll be like, no. And when you see your kid like hitting someone, it's very common to hear a parent, maybe at the playground or park or in their home, they'll hit, right? And a parent will run over and a parent will say, no, don't do that. And then they'll use this line, they'll say, we don't hit. We don't bite. We don't unroll all the toilet paper at once. We don't draw on the sofa, right? We don't put the keys in the toilet, right? Like we have all these things that we teach kids. We don't do that. Well, they're doing that. But the point is to say, no, that's not what we do. And that's what Peter is saying. He's saying, we don't do that. If these things, that he lists here, the malice and gossip, and if those things mark our lives, then we have never really grown up in the Christian faith. We are spiritual babies. And so we must rid ourselves of these things. And in their place, we put on the great mark of being a Christian, which is love. 1 Peter 1:22, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Sincere love, because you've been born again. God is love. And if God is love in his nature, and if we are partakers in the divine nature, then we have to exhibit love in our lives, conduct, and relationship. Like father, like son, like father, like daughter. Our father is love, so too we need to be like our father. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Do you want to be a son of God? Do you want to live up to that title? Manifest the nature of God by being a peacemaker. Amen. Love your enemies. Pray for those who mistreat you. God loves his enemies. You must love your enemies. Amen. Exhibit the nature of your father. Be imitators of your father. Peter says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Not accidentally fail at them, just to be clear. He says, do not conform to them. That's the old way of living. Don't conform your life to them anymore. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. It's written, be holy because I am holy. Imitate your father. Let your life be characterized by love. So some of you are thinking, because this is the first place we think, right? If I am more loving, and if I stop doing those things, then if I do that enough, then I can be accepted by God. No. You are already right with God if you have trusted Jesus. That is a free gift of God's grace. Grace is opposed to earning, but grace is not opposed to effort. We don't obey God for grace. We obey God from grace. So rid yourselves of all self-centeredness, all preoccupations with immaturity, because the marks of immaturity prove that we are immature. Sometimes those marks prove that we have never been born again. Love in action is the nature of Christian growth. Jesus puts it this way. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Rains are going to come in your life. Streams are going to rise. It's going to be windy out there. Some of you have felt the strong winds of uncertainty and difficulty and suffering blowing through your life. Jesus says, those are coming. The difference is not that one group of people heard it and the other didn't. The difference is that they both heard it, but one group, when they heard the word of God, decided to say, I'm going to actually digest it, and I'm going to allow it to change me, and I'm going to put it into practice. We must be not just hearers of the word, but doers of it. We must become practitioners. We cannot check in and check out, week in and week out in this room and hear the word of God and leave unchanged. We must leave this room always thinking about how good God is, what he has done, and how we ought to adjust our lives in response to his graciousness. Amen. Put them into practice, Jesus says. Pray for the desire. Pray for obedience. Where is one area in your life where you have been disobedient? And today is the day where before you leave here this morning, you decide, I'm going to obey. Lastly, so diet, exercise, lastly or thirdly, encouragement. We do it together. Peter is not writing to a church. He's writing to Christians who are dispersed in what we now call Turkey. But he teaches them to do this together. He says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply. You have love for one another. Love one another from the heart. Christian maturity is always connected to community. Look, science tells us that if you want to grow, you need to do it together. If you want to lose weight, the best thing you could do is find someone else who will join you in making the same commitment. You want to work out? Find a workout partner. Every study shows you will work out harder and you will train more intensely and you'll be more committed if you have someone else who is committed to doing it with you. There is no command in the Bible to go off and grow all by yourself. Instead, the assumption in both the Old Testament and the New is that we need one another. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." I have some bad news for you. Every one of you in this room is currently being deceived by sin. And what you need are brothers and sisters who love you enough to tell you the truth so that you can overcome that in and through the power of Jesus. We need one another to see ourselves more clearly. Do you ever notice that you have a real hard time discovering if your breath doesn't smell good? A good friend is really good at telling you that you need a breath mint. We don't see ourselves clearly. We don't hear ourselves. We don't experience ourselves. And the Bible understands that if we are going to grow in faith, we need people who will love us, not just have loving feelings towards us, will love us enough to tell us the truth, to point us to who God wants us to be, and who will call us to account and say, hey, I see a weakness in you, and I love you, and I want to see you flourish and thrive, and so therefore, let's do this together. There are 100 verses in the New Testament, 100 verses that include commands about one another. Encourage one another. Be unified to one another. Love one another. We are meant to do this together. Ephesians 4 says this, "So Christ gave himself. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." What did he give them for? "To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach all unity in the faith and in the knowledge," we talked about that earlier, "of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Then we won't be infants anymore, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If we're going to grow, we need to lean in and lean on one another. We have community groups in our church. We talk about them every week. We invite you to be a part of them every week. I have been in a community group for a long time. If you're a member of my community group, you will know that this last year we had a lot of tears. There were a lot of tears shed in our community group this last year. A lot of pain. And what keeps me up at night is to think of the number of you who are crying alone. You were not made to follow Jesus in isolation. Amen. Let's be church together. That's right. Let's grow in faith together. It is a desperate need. It is a desperate need in our church and in this world for Christian leaders. Men and women who are mature in the faith, who feast on God's word, who put his word into practice, and who do it together. How do we grow? Diet, exercise, encouragement. Let's pray that we grow more than we could imagine this year. Let's pray that we become more mature as a body this year. Let's pray that we become the kind of church that doesn't settle for being Christians and being immature. Let's set our sights on maturity of the body. Amen? Let's pray.